Hey, buddy, it's Rick. Welcome back to the Nomad Pastor Podcast. Today, I want to talk about gratitude. And, you know, it's kind of a touchy subject, but the reason I want to talk about it is because, you know, we really live in a wrecked world, you know, and if you think about it, it's wrecked politically, it's wrecked emotionally, our families are wrecked, the world is mentally wrecked. And if you look at what we're going through politically right now, I mean, just last week, the Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade, and the country has lost their minds. And I don't mean just the left or the Democrats. I mean the country. I've seen people posting on Facebook from both sides of the argument saying things that I personally believe would make Christ sick. Now, look, don't misinterpret what I'm saying. Because I am 100% pro-life. But that doesn't mean that I have the right to judge people for the choices they make. As a Christian, I'm supposed to be above that. I'm supposed to show everyone love, even and especially when I don't agree with the choice that they make. Now, after saying all that, you need to recognize that we don't have to live with a wrecked attitude, right? So the world could be wrecked, but our attitude doesn't have to be. We have to be grateful for what we have and the blessings that God has given us, because ungratefulness will do nothing but sabotage and strangle the life that Jesus has promised us. If you begin with being grateful, your life will be full. And it's not hard to see this. It's not hard to see that we live in a broken and wrecked world. It's everywhere that we look, you know. I recently did a podcast that talked about, you know, and asked, are we living in the end times? Because it seems like we're close based on everything that I see. You know, God told us this is going to happen. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 24:12, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. And so every day it becomes more and more clear to me anyways, that we are living in a wrecked world. We have wrecked marriages, wrecked homes, wrecked families, a wrecked economy, a wrecked political system. And as bad as it is today, the closer we get to the return of Christ, the worse it's going to get. We have to understand that. You know, Jesus promised to give us life to the full in John 10:10. This life to the full is not defined by the things that we have or the things that we don't have. It's, you know, he didn't say, hey, you're going to have a big house, or you're going to have a nice car, or you're going to have some material thing that you will have to make it a full life, right? The full life is defined by how we respond to those trials, to those temptations, how we respond to tragedy and things like that. And one of the main things that can sabotage and like I said, strangle that full life is that attitude of ungratefulness. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And I know that that's hard, right? I find myself struggling with it. I look at a circumstance that I might be going through, and I'm not grateful at times. I am not giving thanks in all the circumstances, but I personally am allowing the adversary to creep into my mind and plant those seeds of doubt. I have to stop. I have to stop doing that in that instance. And I tell myself I have to stop in that instance, and I have to spend time with God, because if I don't, I become depressed. It's really a slippery slope that can have major problems. It can cause major problems as these feelings begin to seep into every part of your life and every part of your relationship if you're not grateful. And so gratitude is seeing that God is good. It comes from a clear vision of who God is. You know, the devil, he has always tried to destroy God's character, right? In Psalm 100, it's a psalm of praise, and go read it. It makes it clear that an attitude of gratitude comes from seeing that God is good. You know, remember, Jesus wants to give you a life that is full and joyful, peaceful, powerful, faithful, purposeful. The devil, he wants you to have life that is full, but he wants you to have a life that is ungrateful. It's how he separates us from God. His full is different. It is not joy. It is not peace, right? It's full of ungratefulness. You know, because the devil knows that when we ignore God's will, that we are not thankful. And when we are not thankful, it leads to darkness and it leads to destruction. As I was thinking about this study on gratitude and thinking about how to talk about it, right? I wanted to go look up studies that have been done on gratitude and mental health and how gratitude can affect your mental health. And I found numerous studies, various places. And so I just want to talk about a couple of them. The first one is a study by Harvard Health that the study is titled Giving Thanks Can Make You Happier. And it was published on August 14th of 21. And you can go to health.harvard.edu. But in that study, there are three control groups, right? The first group wrote about things they were grateful for that had occurred to them during the week, right? And the second group wrote daily about irritations or things that had displeased them. And then the third group wrote about events that had affected them with no emphasis on it being positive or negative. And after 10 weeks, the control group that wrote about gratitude, they were more optimistic and they felt better about their daily lives. And what was surprising about the study is they actually exercised more. They had fewer visits to the doctor because they felt better. But in contrast, the people who their primary source of writing was aggravation, they went to the doctor more. They felt worse. They didn't feel good. They weren't happy. You know, there was another leading researcher, I'm going to butcher his name. It's Martin Siegelman, is a psychologist at the University of Pennsylvania. He tested the impact of positive psychology on 411 people, each compared with a control assignment of writing about early memories. And when their week's assignments was to write and personally deliver a letter of gratitude to someone who had never been properly thanked for their kindness, the participants, the 411 people, immediately exhibited an increase in happiness. Their scores for happiness increased. And this impact was greater than that from any other intervention. So think about that. Just by saying thank you, just by being grateful for something that they should have said thank you for a long time ago, their scores around happiness increased drastically. You know, and then for people leaders, right, for managers who remember to say thank you to people, they find that the employees feel motivated to actually work harder, right? The Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania divided randomly university fundraisers into two groups, right? One group made phone calls to solicit donations from alumni in the same way that they've always done it. And the second group that was assigned the work to do it on a different day. They got a pep talk from the director of annual giving who told the people how grateful she was for their efforts. And during that following week, the employees who heard her message of gratitude made 50% more phone calls than the people who didn't because they knew that the director was thankful, right? That there was gratitude for what they did. And so no matter how you slice it, or what method you use to get to the data, it's clear that gratitude makes you happier and healthier. And God wants to give you a full life. And to obtain that full life, you need to be gracious. As I was researching gratitude, I read as I went through all these different surveys, and there was a lot more than the couple that I picked out here, but I read that A 5 minute a day gratitude journal can increase your long-term well-being by more than 10%. That's the same impact as doubling your income. That's what the study said, right? That's what I read. And it's, you know, when you compound it year over year. But think about how happy you would be. You know, and if we just tie all of this back to several scriptures, right? Because that's what this is, right? This is the Nomad Pastor podcast. If we just tie this back, right? Psalms 34:8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 86:5, you Lord are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. Psalm 145:9, the Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. Lamentations 3:25, the Lord is good to those who hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. Look, I could go on and on listing scriptures. There are tons of them that talk about how good God is and how forgiving he is. But as we continue to talk about gratitude, we have to recognize that there are many things designed by the devil to distract us from the graciousness of God. And we have to cultivate a mindset of looking for God's goodness in the messy things of our lives, right? We have to remember that not all things are good. However, God makes all things work to the good for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. You know, Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So don't be distracted by the momentary things that are not good, but they might be bright and shiny. Like, oh, I want that right now. Don't let that distract you. We are supposed to be preparing to spend forever with God. Set your eyes on that goodness. Set your eyes on the goodness of God through Christ. This will give you a reason to be grateful. And when you see how gracious God is, gratitude is your only natural response. Gratitude is sharing the Lord by witnessing to people, right? Hebrews 13:15, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. You know, according to the writer of Hebrews, thanksgiving or gratefulness is a fruit. Fruit of any sort requires a cultivation, right? It doesn't just happen by itself. It requires cultivation and it requires fertilization to produce it fully, for it to be plump and juicy and whatever you're trying to get out of that fruit. And we have to remember there may be some things that you have to walk through in order to have your fruit be fully fertilized. It may not be good things. It's not always going to be good. But a grateful attitude doesn't happen by accident, right? God knows how this is going to benefit us and others, and he calls us to be disciplined enough to make it part of our daily routine, right? Let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. You know, in Acts 1, verse 8, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So what does a witness do? Witnesses tell about what they have seen and heard, right? We are all called by God to offer and share the good things that God has done in our lives. You know, and witnessing is not, it's not about memorizing, you know, somebody else's way. It's about sharing God's goodness in your life. It's about sharing God's mercy in your life. I think it's important that we really recognize that, right? I know some people will probably be thinking, like, I'm not called to share, right? I'm not a pastor. I'm not a teacher. I'm not gifted at that. I'm going to tell you that you're wrong. And even though you might disagree with me or you don't like what I have to say, we are all called to witness to people. You know, in my small group, we're studying Ephesians in depth right now. And in our last group meeting, It was, you know, we were reviewing the first part of chapter 4 of Ephesians. And so I want to bring up a couple of the passages to back up what I'm saying here, right? So in chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, it says, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. Until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." You see, right here, Paul is teaching us that the teachers and the apostles and the pastors are here to equip his people. And they are doing that so that we can go witness. We are his people. Everybody who is a Christ follower is his people. I'm not saying go write a sermon. I'm not saying stand in a pulpit and preach. I'm saying tell people you're a Christ follower. And when they ask, tell them why. Don't be afraid to stand with Christ. Don't be afraid to tell people why. Be grateful for all that Christ has done for you and share. You know, earlier I mentioned 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And in this passage, another passage in the New Testament, the Greek word used for giving thanks is eucharistio. I probably butchered that, but what it's originally meant as the Greek means do a good turn to. So gratefulness is a spirit-filled attitude that leads to an appropriate spirit-filled action. Serving the Lord God with gladness. Gladness means delight, laughter, joy, festivity, and lots of other things. One thing I know for me personally is that serving God is never dull and it is never boring. When you get your sight right, there is a joy. There is a gratitude at seeing God's goodness take root in other people's lives. When I see that flicker in their eye, that hope, that thankfulness, that is amazing to me. I am grateful that I get the opportunity to see that. And we have to recognize that our gratitude can't be tied to our words, our good words, right? God will allow, God's will for us is for our gratitude to be tied to not only good words, but good works. And I know you don't earn anything from works, but good works are the result of our faith. Good works are a result of my gratitude, and it should be of yours too. And we also have to remember that we can't serve God through grumbling. Right? In Exodus 16:12, they complained about their food. In Numbers 11:1, they complained about their hardships. In Philippians 2:14 through 15, it says, "Do everything without grumbling and arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure, children of God who are faultless in a crooked and perverted generation, among whom you shine like the stars in the world." Paul is teaching us that we should not grumble or complain. And in 1 Peter 4:9, it says, "Be hospitable to one another without complaining." In 1 Corinthians 10:10, "Do not grumble." And some of them did and were killed by a destroying angel. You see, ungrateful complainers will be, and they are lumped in with the idolaters, the sexually immoral and those desiring evil that were destroyed by God, right? We have to remember that life is a gift from God to be lived for God. When our mouths are full of thankfulness, they can't be filled with grumbling. And we can serve God with grateful activity by giving thanks in all things. You know, gratitude isn't about pain. It's not about pressure. It's not about the problems that we face. It's about the right attitude toward the one who controls all of that in our life. When we remember that God is in control and works all things to the good, then we can give thanks to the worst and the best circumstances. We can thank God because he causes many a tight place to open into the right place. We give thanks by finding our place of service instead of sitting and waiting for someone to find it for us. Because for me, I know if someone assigns me a service to do, that my heart, it's not going to be in it, right? It's not going to be in it like something that I'm passionate about, and something that I picked. We're taught that thankfulness should be part of worship, giving, relationship. It should be part of everything we do. Serving God and His people and those around you is part of giving thanks. You know, I hear a lot of church people asking, what does the church need help with? How about instead of asking, why not present something that you're passionate about and get the church on board? It's going to mean a lot more to you and the community that you serve instead of just going through the motions. That's probably why I hear a lot of pastors ask what you want to do instead of assigning something to you. And, you know, frankly, I used to think like, why doesn't the pastor just tell me what they need? But in studying, in doing this research, I've come to realize that it's because if I'm not passionate, then I won't represent God the way He deserves with the gratitude that it requires. In closing, I think it's obvious that we must cultivate an attitude of gratitude. So how do we actively make our attitude one of giving thanks? And there's really kind of, I think, four ways, right? First, we need to make it part of our prayer life. Right? Give those requests to God. Let your requests be known to God with a thankful heart. Second, worship. Listen to songs. Listen to worship music. I know there are a lot of options for music today, but I will tell you that personally, I feel better and I feel closer to God when I listen to worship music. And if you don't, I suggest you give it a try. Don't be shy about it. You know, I've been known to be on my Harley with worship music blaring for all to hear. Pull up out a light, everybody knows what's going on. The third thing is to thank those that do the simplest and smallest things in your life. It might be one thing that makes their day. It might be the one thing that shows them the love of Christ through you. Just by saying thank you, by being gracious and thankful. And finally, just serve God and others. This is one of the greatest ways to give thanks. Ask God where you are to serve and go do it. Don't wait for someone to assign you something you're not passionate about, because you're never going to do it with the heart that God needs. So as I close, I want to quote Spurgeon, right? Charles Spurgeon. And one of his quotes was, "It's not how much we have, but how much we enjoy that makes happiness." It's not how much we have, but how much we enjoy that makes happiness. And I really want you to think about that. All of the treasures in the world can't make you happy. Only God can make you happy. Hey, this is Rick with the Nomad Pastor. I appreciate you listening. We're available on all podcast platforms of choice. If you have a question, send me an email at hello@nomadpastor.org. You have a blessed week. Mm-hmm.